prayer. Maybe you wouldn't, but that might be what I would call it. Let me tell you a little story happened to me just this week. Oh, you notice my little lamb chop here, right? That is a dog toy. You can buy these online from Sam's Club. If you go to Walmart or somewhere, they cost a little bit more. But at Sam's Club, they deliver them to you, and they are just $9.99. And I think I've bought 10,000 of these. My dog loves these. You all know Bo. Bo loves the dog, right? Or the lamb chop. We got him two of them recently. As you know, I've bought a house up on Glenwood, and I'm up there quite a bit working these days. I've taken a lot of vacation time through the end of May that I have left in order to get that done. And Bo does not like going there. He has reached a point where when I go to leave the house, he will put his feet down and say, no, he's not going. But if Janice isn't going with me, I don't like to be there alone. So I force him to go, and he goes with me, but he is really cantankerous over there. He does not want to be there with me. He would rather be what he considers the only thing he's ever known as home. So I got the idea. We haven't had any lamb chops in a while. So I ordered two lamb chops. And if you know anything about these things for dogs, if you ever had a dog, they love he loves to carry this thing around, and he loves because there's a squeaker in it. And once he realizes that the squeaker is in there, this becomes an exploding pile of all kinds of stuff, whatever's in it, just everywhere. He will chew it up because the game is to get the squeaker, right? And the game is to get the prize, which is the squeaker. So I ordered two of these, and they came before I left to go to the house this week. And as you know, I have that white junk Ford pickup truck I drive, and I put Bo up in there, and he sits on the seat. And I put this in there with him, and he's all on it and everything, and we head off to go over to the house. I'm sitting, after you cross the Hall of Fame Bridge, right on Whipple Avenue. You can see Altman right here. You can see Mercy right here at up on the hill, Children's Hospital. And Bo has laid down on the seat, and we have caught that red light on Whipple, right? And so I picked this up. He's laying over here by me on the seat. I'm sitting in my car like this, and I am checking out the little lamb, and I'm feeling it. And all at once I realized I hit jackpot. I had gotten the only lamb chop that they made that did not have a squeaker in it. There's no squeaker. And I was so pleased. Because that means he won't tear it apart. And that means I'll never have to buy another lamb chop. And I couldn't believe that I got the only squeaker that they, or the only lamb chop they forgot to put the squeaker in. Now you should know that when Bo gets in the car with me, I talk to him. If you ever see me driving around in a Ford truck and I'm talking and you don't see anybody with me, it's because he's laying on the seat and I'm rubbing his head so he'll continue to lay on the seat so the Jackson police don't pick me up for having him in my lap. And I'm talking to him. And my talk to my dog goes like this. You such a good boy. You daddy's little boy. You such a good boy. You want to go to the house with me? Huh? You want to go? Me and you go there, then we'll take a walk, and way home we will get an ice cream, Bo. Well, you're a good boy. And so I'm sitting there at the light, and I can't believe I don't have a squeaker. So I picked up the lamb chop, put it between me and the steering wheel, and I'm going like this. And the whole time I'm going, you're such a good boy. You're such a good boy. We're going to go to the house, and after we go to the house, we're going to go for a walk. And then we're going to go get a lamb chop or an ice cream, and you know how that is. And it was that warm day this week, and my window was down. And I'm sitting at that red light, which has a left-turn lane. And I heard a voice, and the voice said, look. So I looked. She was not talking to me. She was talking to her husband driving that other car. And I'm sitting here talking this thing, saying, you're such a good boy. You're going to go with me to the house, and we're going to go get ice cream. And I looked at him, and they both had a look, and I said, my dog, and she just looked at me and looked away. Off they went. They left turn lane. Why did I bring that up? Not to tell you about that story, but to tell you about the dog, Bo. Bo loves it when he has the lamb chop. He loves it because that means things are going well. It means everything's okay. Everything in the world is as it should be for Bo when he has a lamb chop. Are you anything like that? Do you need a lamb chop in your life? Don't we all like it when things are going as they should go? When life is good and as it should be? Well, today, in the scripture we just read, and we're going to walk back through it again real quick, I want you to notice that things weren't going so good. Now, you didn't know the context of this passage. Elijah has come at the direction of God to a widow at Zarephath, and she has a son. Now, where was Elijah coming from? It's such a good story. Before this, in the seven verses before this, he has come from a brook called Kidron, where also God had sent him. He sent him to the brook at Kidron because there at Kidron, God would let him drink from the brook, and God would let him live by that brook, drinking that water and eating. But one day the brook dried up, and the things that God provided for him to eat went away. And life was not good for Elijah, and he didn't know what he was going to do. And God said, if you think it's bad with a brook that doesn't feed well, wait till you get to this widow's house. And that's the story we read today. See, because he gets to this widow's house, and he says, can I stay with you? And the widow says, well, all I've got left is enough corn and enough oil for me and my son. I'm preparing to bake it. And after that, we are going to die. He goes into the widow's house and lives. And the oil never runs dry. And the grain continues to come. But one day, as you read, something happened. And that's where we're going to pick up in the story. The son of the woman became ill. And his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. The son died. And she said to Elijah, what have you against me, O man of God? You've come to me to bring my sin to my remembrance and to cause the death of my son. Now, just if this rings a bell to you, I'm going to remind you of that great story in the Bible of Job. Remember, he lost everything. He lost all that he had, lost his family. And what do his friends come and say to him? They say, Job, this has happened to you. It has to be because of your sin. And we still yet today tend to think that kind of a thought. I have had little things happen to me, and I'll say, oh dear, what have I done to deserve this? This woman is saying, Elijah, you have allowed this to happen. You have come here so that my sin can be exposed. And it's a lie. The son did not die. It had nothing to do with his mother's actions, good or bad in any way. Everybody goes through the good and the bad. Remember what I told you about Elijah. He went to that brook and the brook dried up. He comes to this widow and her son dies. Jesus, you'll remember in the book of John, he comes out and the question was asked, who sinned, this man? Remember he healed that guy's eyes? He made the blind to see? And the question was asked, who made this happen that this man was so born blind? Was it because his parents sinned or because of his sin? And Jesus' reply is pretty simple. It's neither. Well, Elijah says to the woman, give me your son. And he took him from her arms and he carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him down on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, oh Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son or by allowing her son to die? Have you ever been in the places in life where the lamb chop's taken away? That's where Elijah and this woman are at. He's puzzled, Elijah is. Why did this happen now? Why has this happened in my life? Why has this happened in her life? God, I'm puzzled by what your purpose could possibly be. And so Elijah, crying to the Lord, says to the Lord, oh Lord, has this happened? For what purpose and for what reason? And it says that he stretched himself out upon the child three times. And he pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord God, let this child's life come into him again. He did this three times. You know, when difficult time comes, I think we could learn something from what Elijah did there. First, we need to learn to ask. Then we need to seek. And when the time comes, we need to be like that widow that Jesus told the parable about that just continued to knock and continued to knock and continued to knock. Elijah prayed three times, laid on the boy three times. And I want you to see what happened. The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, delivered him to his mother, and said, "Look, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now that I know that you're a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." You know, when you look at the Bible and miracles occur, they're meant to encourage our faith. They're meant. I've told you this many times before. In the book of Acts, early on in the book of Acts, Peter and John are walking by the temple gate called Beautiful, and they see that man that's been lame his whole life begging for alms. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And in the book of Acts, you see it go like that. There's an abundance of miraculous things that happen. And over time, pretty soon, they disappear towards the end of the book of Acts. The reason that occurred is so that the church could grow. Miracles are given to bring faith. I've been watching, because some of you have encouraged me to watch, The Chosen. I finally picked up, started watching that. And I got to the place that reminded me of where Jesus turned the water into wine. You'll remember that, the very first miracle of Jesus. And his mother comes to him and says, "They have no wine." And Jesus says, "It's not my time yet. You know, what's that to me? What do I have to do with this?" But when he changes the water into wine, faith begins to grow. Not just so among his disciples, but amongst the people who begin to learn of what he's done. Over and over again, miracles are given to us. And this miracle with this child. Elijah, in the position of depending upon a widow and her son who had nothing much left to live, now finds that the widow's son has died, but he knows what to do. He goes to the Lord. The question might be, why? Why did the child fall ill and die in the first place? Why did the brook run dry? Why are things not as good as they've always been? Why is life not as comfortable as it once was? And I think we all tend to ask those questions. But I want you to notice something. The woman was very honest, wasn't she? What we look as a question concerning is her sin going to be revealed is really an honest outward confession of who she was. We'd hope, at least I think we in our robe, our clerical robes, would think and would hope that maybe the woman could have been like Abraham, you know, when God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, up on Mount Moriah and offer him there." Abraham just runs up that hill. No. Things weren't good for her, and she was willing to say things weren't good for her. He not only fell ill, but then he died. You'd hope that maybe this could have been a great time for her faith to grow. No, she says, "You're here to expose my sin." She's just very honest about what's going on. But something about an honest confession is really a piece of the mustard seed, I think, that Jesus talked about. What does the woman say? She says, "Why have you, Elijah, what have you against me, O man of God? You've come to bring my sin to my remembrance and to cause the death of my son." I want you just to remember this one thought. This woman was going through a tough time, but it wasn't that long ago that the one who prayed to the Lord was going through a tough time. I don't know if you've ever been at a brook where you had to depend on the water of the brook to give you something to drink, and the ravens of the air to come and feed you. But that's where Elijah was. And one day the ravens quit coming, and one day the brook dried up, and he was in a predicament. And God could have come along and built his faith by saying, We'll take that little boy over there with those five loaves and those two fish, and we'll feed you and all the people around here. That's not what God did. God said, go to this woman who has a son, who has nothing, and is preparing to die. And there, Elijah, you will learn to really depend upon me. And so he went. That dry brook and those ravens that quit coming to feed him, that was a test for him. That woman who opened that door and had nothing left in her pantry, that was his test. And his immediate response, notice this, the difference, was to take the boy and pray on him three times. But sometimes we don't work that way. And that widow, she's the exact example of that. Oh, why has this happened to me? We need to learn, I think, that sometimes our greatest blessings are followed by our greatest testings. When you find yourself on the mountaintop of life, sometimes it just seems that the next thing that happens is you're brought to the valley of the shadow of death. This woman was brought somewhere close to that place. But that wasn't really the issue. This matter of this woman's sin. How mature is your faith? If you were in her shoes, how would you respond? What have you against me, O man of God? You've come to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. Joel Adkins says that this way. Oh, why has this happened to me? Why me this time? You know what the psalmist said? Psalmist said, I can see now, God, that your decisions are right. Your testing has taught me what's true and right. Can I tell you something about the psalmist? Can I tell you something about the psalmist? He had a mature faith. Can I tell you something about Elijah? He got there through the tests of his life. Can I tell you something about this widow woman? She was at a different place in her journey. It doesn't mean that she was of any less value to God than Elijah, of any less value to God than you or me. It's just where she was. And so sometimes in life, when we have the greatest blessing, when, remember that widow who was getting ready to die and her oil cruse was not, didn't have much oil left in it, and her pantry was out of everything except for the meal that she was going to cook this little pancake or whatever biscuit thing for her and her son and then die. Remember that as long as Elijah was there, they never ran dry. God continued to supply her need. And church, sometimes we go through that. Sometimes our owner gives us the lamb chop. And we think, man, life is real good right now. Life is just so good. Sometimes the lamb chop's not there. And it brings me to my bottom line for you today. It's going to be real short, and we're going to end real quick. Faith is meant to be a lifelong confession and not a momentary profession. I think God knows that we're human. I think God knows he made us, that we're made from the dust of the earth, that his son hurt the way that you and I hurt on that cross. That the first nail probably hurt at least as much as the second. And that in that time in between, there was a lot of pain that was going on. And when it was all said and done, after the nails were placed and after the beating that was given and after everything that happened over the hours that led up to that, the ultimate negative matter was a death. There were no lamb chops that day. But our faith, church, is a lifelong confession. Lord, I don't understand right now, but show me. Lord, I don't understand right now, but show me. For this widow woman, it was in the person of Elijah who prayed three times. I'll bet you she probably took note of that. For this widow woman, it was Elijah who laid down on her son up in that room. For this woman, it was hearing the steps creaking as Elijah came down and wondering what she was going to say to this man who had come to her house and allowed her son to die, to see the door open up and to find that her son wasn't dead at all. but the life was back in him. You see, it's not a matter of a momentary profession. Lord, I'm in the foxhole right now, and I'll serve you all my days. Lord, I'm in a difficult time right now, and I'll do whatever you need me to do. But rather, it's a lifetime confession of, Lord, I need you today, tomorrow, and yesterday, and with this breath and that breath, and with this millisecond and that millisecond. And Lord, I'm going to trust you for all of it, each and every moment. You know, we're looking at new furniture for that house. And somebody close to me keeps saying, well, I probably won't be here in 10 years. And I keep thinking, then why are we looking at this store? We need to just go down there, you know, to Big Lots and see what they got on clearance. If you're not going, that's a joke. Friends, we don't know what happens from moment to moment, but God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Jesus who died on the cross rose on that Easter Sunday morning. We sang about that a little bit ago, whether you caught it or not, that life is an eternal thing. It's not a temporal thing. And our faith is grown in the here and now and the there and then both. The what has been, the what will be, and the what is right now. And we need to trust God through those moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I'm not going to sing our final hymn today. I am going to ask Mark French to come up. He has an announcement to make. And then I'll pray a benediction. If you are going to do something with that envelope, you need to do it down there. You need a microphone.
On behalf of the SALT team, we would like to thank Mindy for being at this church almost 12 years through many, many changes, readjustments. I mean, just the office has been up and down for pretty much the whole time she's been here, and we appreciate her standing by us and helping get us through, because we needed someone there in that office making the chaos not seem so chaotic from the SALT team. We thank you very much, Mindy, and we wish you well on your next adventure. I'm sure it'll be an adventure, because this was an adventure, I'm sure. So we thank you. We have a card from the SALT team, and we have, after the service, we have cupcakes and punch and coffee for everybody at the back of the church. We have a basket that we've put cards in from individuals wishing Mindy well. She was our, just so if you don't know, she was our office administrator and treasurer. We used to have a couple people doing that job, but as the church changed, it ended up being just one person doing that job. So again, thank you, Mindy, so much for your service here, and we wish you all the best.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your faithfulness in Christ Jesus. Thankful today that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, as we celebrate Mindy today and as she goes, we pray your blessing upon her. We also give thanks to you for taking this church from where it was to where it is and doing those administrative and financial matters that needed to be done, sometimes so very delicately, and often handling personalities and situations that varied from moment to moment. We thank you for Mindy's ministry and ask your blessing upon her and Todd as they continue through life. Lord, bless us now as we go from this place. We ask it in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Please stick around right back there in the back where Debbie's standing. Get yourself a cup of coffee, a cup of punch, and a cupcake, and wish Mindy well. Thank you.